Welcome to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Please join us today as Pastor Jeffrey Campbell leads us in an in-depth study of the Sermon on the Mount. Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, and the sermon is entitled, The Least, the Great, and the Exceeding.
Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to get onto it. I'm grateful for the opportunity to teach through the Sermon on the Mount, and as we think about these words, as we have learned about the blessed and the character traits that Jesus is trying not only to teach, but that he modeled himself. And that last week we looked at the challenge of being the salt and the light. And so this week we're just going to tackle like four verses, 17 through 20 of Matthew chapter 5. But in doing so, we understand that when we look at who God has called us to be, we ended last week talking about people that are different and that stand out. Not that we're better, but that we're different because Jesus lives in our heart. That's why we're called to be the salt and light, difference makers, change agents. That was the reminder of last week. And then we come right on the heels of that challenge. Jesus says these words in verses, I'm going to start with verse 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle should in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. A couple of things that I want you to see tonight as we go through this little bit of scripture. And the first one is this, is the fulfillment. Jesus simply says this, he didn't come to destroy, but he came to fulfill. When we think about fulfillment, that means satisfaction, right? We understand that in our sense of satisfaction. And it is also means the same thing when we're talking about the law, the Old Testament law. There were many who thought that Jesus came to undermine the law. So he came just as another option, if you will, to undermine the religious law of the day. In doing so, he would destroy the foundation, which was the relationship that they had with God. And so Jesus, as the people began to hear him teach and they would see him, he was always thought that he was an enemy of sorts because he was there to undermine what they were doing and what God was doing through his law. And right off the get-go, Jesus says, no way. I did not come to destroy. And we'll get to that in just a second. But Jesus was seen as somewhat of a revolutionary, beginning a movement that would challenge the religious system and the religious leaders of the day. Here's an example of that. When Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, those that knew the law, those that taught the law, remember Exodus 20, which tells them to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How many of you know that's one of the top 10 do not do's, right? That's on the top 10 list of things you better not do. And so this was a direct challenge to what the law was teaching. And so it immediately, in the lives of those that taught it, those that believed it, I'm not going to say those that lived it because they did not. The scribes and Pharisees did not do that. But they viewed him as trying to start a movement that would attack the word and the command of God. Jesus tells them directly, I didn't come to do that. I did not come to destroy the law. Sometimes in churches, when you have new people come in, let's say a new pastor come in, that's some of the friction that happens in your new churches, right? The new pastor comes in and there's a way that he's used to doing things and there's a way that the church is used to doing things. And sometimes in the old Amherst language, it don't shuck and jive very good, okay? And so that's what happened. They were thinking, okay, this Jesus is coming to destroy everything we have built our lives upon, everything that we've set our lives on. And Jesus says, I simply didn't do that. 3 years of his earthly ministry, Jesus would show the characteristics of an almighty God. He would teach what the law was trying to say, and in some ways the law couldn't say. Jesus would teach it. And Jesus would take the law to a higher standard. And we're going to get to that in the weeks to come. I don't want to go down that road yet. But Jesus would take the law, and here's an example of do not murder. That's what the law says. And Jesus would take it to another level to say, if you have murdered in your heart, you've committed the sin. Do you see how he took that to a higher level? And so what we need to understand is this. Jesus didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill and to demonstrate what that law was trying to teach. Here is the irony of it. The ones that were so passionate about the law, those scribes and Pharisees, they didn't live it. They knew it. Yes, they may have lived and breathed it, but they didn't live it out day to day. How do the teachings of the characteristics of the believers of the law, how do they work with the characteristics and the teachings? How does that work hand in hand? When we view Jesus, when they view Jesus as a threat, not a fulfillment, that puts them at odds from the very get-go. When we read the Word of God, here's the way we need to read it in our day. We need to read it with eyes looking to Jesus. Jesus is a direct fulfillment of the law. Everything that we read in the Old Testament, it points to Jesus. And so that's the way that we need to read it. As Jesus says, I came to fulfill it. Now, when we think about how Jesus fulfilled the law, how did he fulfill it? He fulfilled it with his life. He fulfilled it in his teaching. He fulfilled it in his death. And he fulfilled it in his resurrection. He fulfilled the law. And we can see that because we're on this side of things. Now, if we were in that day, it may have been hard. But Galatians chapter number 3, verse 13 says, he redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The law or the old covenant was fulfilled through Jesus, and that's the reason he came. We'll get to that in just a second about what that kingdom looks like. Jesus says in verse number 18, he says this, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So Jesus didn't come to take the law and rip it up, okay? He's actually looking at the law now. And he says, here's what's going to happen. There's not going to be one little dot, one little mark, or one little part of a letter, one little Hebrew letter that will not be fulfilled. The Word of God is not going to pass away until all of this is fulfilled. What in the world does he mean by a jot and a tittle? Maybe you have heard the word iota. Not one iota. Maybe that little mark. Maybe you've heard that little saying before. But when we understand that the jot, the smallest letter of a Hebrew alphabet, what it looks like. It looks like an apostrophe. If you look at my notes, there are times I leave apostrophes off. Right? And a little apostrophe, something that small in the Word of God, Jesus says that won't go unfulfilled. A tittle is kind of like a little straight line that identifies one letter from a next. It would be like the little crossbar of a lowercase t. You know, if you don't cross your t's, it's an L, right? It's an L. If you write in print, it's an L. And so that little tittle, that little cross mark, it matters. And here's what Jesus is saying. Nothing in the Word of God did I come to destroy. I didn't come to destroy any of it. In fact, it will last. And the promise of verse number 18 that it says, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. There's nothing going to happen outside of the Word of God. And so we need to understand that. All right, I know that's hard stuff. I struggle with these two verses. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Where he was seen as an outsider and a threat, someone that would destroy it, he was actually a fulfillment of that law. And so as he's teaching them how to live their life and the character traits they need to have, here's what he said: I can teach you that because I know. I know what the law says. And my life will be a representation of it. The fulfillment. Look at verse number 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least, these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So there's a couple of words that we've got to just think about in this verse, okay? First and foremost that comes to mind is the great and the least, right? Nobody wants to be the least. And we understand that, especially when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. That is the second phrase that we're going to look at, is the kingdom of heaven. But also that word whosoever. Two words I want to look at in this verse. Whosoever and the kingdom of heaven. Those words are used and will be used by Matthew multiple times throughout his gospel. Matthew is the one writer that uses the phrase kingdom of heaven more than any other. So what is he trying to convey? What is Matthew trying to convey about this kingdom of heaven that Jesus is to be a part of? Well, let's look at verse number 19 again. Jesus says this: whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. When we think about the least and the greatest, when we think about the kingdom of heaven, sometimes when we think about the kingdom of heaven, where does your mind go to? How would you define that? The kingdom of heaven, some people think, is a place that we will get one day. Heaven. It's a place that Jesus has set up for all eternity. That's part of it. But here's what Matthew is saying. Matthew is saying through Jesus here that the kingdom of heaven is current. The kingdom of heaven is actually here. And here's what we need to understand as we think about that kingdom of heaven. It is the reign of Jesus Christ over his kingdom. Now that will happen in a eternal way someday, but that is happening now. How many of you know that Jesus is in control now? So his kingdom has come. When Jesus came on the scene, he came to reign and to rule. And he does that in an earthly sense. And so when we think about this kingdom of heaven, it is a place where God reigns and God rules, and you can live every day under that rule. But remember, these people, what were they looking for? They wanted an earthly king, didn't they? They wanted a political kingdom. And guess what? That's what they were looking for, and this Jesus didn't meet that criteria. He didn't. He was not a warrior. And so when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, there's going to be some pushback through the book of Matthew about what this kingdom really means. The kingdom of heaven is a place where God reigns and God rules. It is current today and it will be for all eternity. When we think about the second word that I want to focus on is that whosoever word. I want you to listen to these scriptures that are written down. John 3:16, you know that verse. For God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. Listen to Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's another whosoever. Romans 10:11. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Matthew 7:24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. Matthew uses this word, whosoever, a lot. And we're going to see it in the coming weeks. And so I think it's important that we understand that whosoever is a call to people, regardless of background and nationality and social status, God's offer of salvation and mercy and grace are not bound to certain people, certain cultures, and it is a challenge that God can save anybody. So when we see that word, whosoever, it's important to know that the heart of God teaches us that Jesus came for the whosoevers. Whosoever will believe and call. That's who Jesus came for. And so when we think of that, when we have Jesus as a Savior, the Word of God grows in us and grows us to that point that we understand that we need to live our life for Him under this kingdom of heaven. And praise God, we are the whosoevers. I will say, I am a whosoever guy. What do I mean by that? I mean by this: whoever hears about Jesus and whoever believes in Him through faith will be saved. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. There are some sects of our religion that will take that word and try to explain it away. I just feel like the heart of God is this: whosoever in this world that believes in Jesus will be saved. I believe that's what the Word of God teaches. And so, go back to the big picture now. Let's go back. Let's pan out a little bit. The big picture is this. All right, there's character traits that my people need. There's people that will live in my kingdom. This is what they're going to look like. But whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord can enter this kingdom that I am setting up, that I am a part of, and that you are a part of because you believe in me. That is the big picture. Does that make sense? When you pan out, the big picture is whosoever, these 12 on the mount will be charged with going out to the whosoevers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I think of point number two tonight, and that is this: the least and the great. Look at this verse again. It says this: whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Here's what I want you to know. This verse should make us shudder. How many of you have kids or grandkids, or you've taught somebody the Word of God in some form before? How many of you have done that? Right? Here's what this verse says. Whosoever, there's that word, right? Whosoever will break one of the least of the commandments. Remember the little jot and tittle? The least of the commandments. If you break it or you teach someone else to break it, you'll be least in the kingdom. That's hard stuff. What a job we have as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, Sunday school teachers, as people that invest in the lives of others. Now, that does not say we should be scared of that, but that is the great challenge. That if we don't teach the Word of God correctly and we mislead others, we're least in the kingdom. But also, the other side of that is, whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. There is the reward. Not that we need to be the least or the greatest, but that we are influencing the next generation. Here is the challenge to those listening to this sermon, is this: that you need to teach the truth to the next generation, every part of the Word of God. And so today, when we think about what the least and the greatest looks like, there's a little verse I want to share with you in the little John's, in the back of your New Testament. 2 John 8, verse 8 says this, "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." That's the wrong verse. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." And here's the challenge. When we think about a full reward, that is one day in the future. But how many of us want to get to heaven and Jesus say, "I had this for you, but you only get this"? Oh man, you might as well just punch me in the nose, Jesus, come on, right? But how important is our work? Listen to this. "Whosoever shall do and teach, follow, obey the commandment and teach it." So that's the important thing, that we are obedient to it, we live it out, and then we teach it to others. When we think about the great and the least, we all desire a full reward. But we're told here that there will be some that will not receive that. Now, Paul tells us to show ourselves as an example. Remember, he writes to Timothy, show yourself as an example. In these areas, speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And here's what he's telling Timothy. Don't just teach it, you've got to live it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You can't just teach it, you've got to live it. Teach and do. You've got to live it out. And that's where the scribes and Pharisees failed the mark. They taught it, but they didn't do it. Look at verse number 20. "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now remember, the scribes and Pharisees were those religious leaders of the day that knew the law through and through. But I want to start at the end of the verse, verse number 20, with that warning. And that says this, "You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So there will be some that don't enter. What in the world? How do you enter a kingdom of heaven that is current, that is a part of what Jesus is doing now? How do you get denied that? You get denied that when your righteousness doesn't meet the scribes and Pharisees. So what is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying about righteousness? What is righteousness? Right standing before God. In God's eyes, you have right standing. How did the scribes and Pharisees think that they had right standing? By the law, right? They followed that law the best they could to the T. They knew it. When they knew it, they taught it. But when they taught it, guess what? They didn't always do it. And one of the things that the Jews did, they would argue, which one's the least and which one's the greatest commandment? How do we rank these things? And here's what Jesus is saying. Righteousness to the scribes and Pharisees was just a system, a duty, if you will, where they could weld their religious power and they could flaunt their knowledge of the scriptures, but they did not do it. They did not live to those standards. And so the standard in the kingdom of heaven, in this kingdom that Jesus was setting up, the standard is this. You've got to know the Word of God and you've got to live it out. How do you exceed? If I could boil this down, I'm getting away from the notes. I want to boil this down and simply say this. How can you exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees? That's the bottom line. If you want to be in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to exceed that. What does that mean? It means this. Number one, you need to know the Word of God. You need to be in your Bible. You need to be studying it. You need to be reading it. Even the hard stuff about laws and kingdoms of heaven, we need to be willing to teach that, even though it's hard to listen to and sometimes hard to teach. We need to know our Bibles. But the second part of this is we must live it out. We must live it out. It's one thing to know what the law says. It's another thing to be obedient to it. And so that is the challenge for righteousness to exceed the scribes and Pharisees, is that we must not be hearers only, but doers of the Word of God. And so we understand that it is a life that is committed to the Word of God. It is a life that is committed in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is lived out day by day. If you looked at these scribes and Pharisees, you would say, man, they are some religious guys. They know their stuff. From the outside, it would look like they were on the top of their game. But on the inside, and we know that's where the Lord looks, is on the heart. On the inside, they were just going through the motions. So I want to close tonight by simply just saying this. What does your relationship with the Lord look like? When we think about the least and the greatest, and the third point, I don't know that I said it, is exceeding. We want to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We do that by knowing the Word of God, loving the Word of God, and living it out. But when we think about going through the motions, I'm guilty of going through the motions, just as many of you are. We're guilty sometimes. And so the challenge is this. Just as the salt and light, you must go out and be different. Tonight, the challenge is this. Go out and live the Word of God wherever you are. The Word of God is powerful. And the Son of God did not come to destroy or to take away or to rip up the Word of God. Because it is powerful, every minor detail will come to pass. And so, as Christians, part of following Jesus and being a part of His kingdom is knowing the Word of God and living it out day by day. I know that's a very simple challenge. When I thought about this lesson, I was like, this is just, I'm going back to elementary school just to tell the church, when I close the lesson, read your Bibles and live it out. But here's the truth. If Christians did that, our world would be a far different place. If we loved the Word of God and lived it out, it would be a far different place. Clifford Baptist Church, tonight, let's be people that identify with Jesus, not as some guy that came to ransack the system, but we come to identify with Him as a man that truly lived the law of God because He was perfect. And we understand that He knew and He taught far greater than what the law could teach. And we live our lives in obedience to Him. Tonight, don't go home and rip up your Old Testament and say the law is no good. No, the law points us to Jesus. Every part of that points us to Jesus. As you read God's Word, let it point you to Jesus. And as we live in this kingdom, and we look forward to the day and the kingdom to come, I pray that God will continue to develop us as genuine believers that obey His Word. I'm grateful tonight for this Word. As it challenges us, I'm going to give a little hint. The next couple of sermons, let's look of how that bar is reestablished. Jesus didn't come to destroy it. He just takes the bar a little bit higher. and says, this is what my people will do. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, tonight, thank you, Lord, for the great reminder of your word. Lord, that every mark, every letter of it is important. It is important to you, and it is an important reminder that nothing will happen apart from your word. God, tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the people in this room will be people that love your word and that will live your word. And God, I pray, Lord, not that we battle to be the least or the greatest, but we will live our lives in such a way that we want to be part of the kingdom of our God. Lord, we long for the day that we will do that for eternity. But Lord, I pray that we live for the day today, that we will be part of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for adopting us into your family. And Lord, tonight, if there's somebody here that needs to be in your family, that's outside of your family, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in their lives. Teach us, Lord, I pray, the importance of your word and living our lives according to it. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church. You're always welcome to visit Clifford Baptist Church for Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday evening worship at 7 p.m. Join us again next Sunday for Truth for the Journey.